If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for Closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the divine love, light, and sound of the One Supreme Reality. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christs. This evening, our seminar topic is, Everything is exactly as you believe it is. Everything is exactly as you believe it is. So what do you believe about yourself and the world? So if you're ready, take a deep breath and present yourself to the Divine Spirit, that your mind could be illumined with the absolute truth, that erroneous beliefs could be dissolved in that omnipresent knowingness and truth that is, that changes not, that is not corrupted by the mixture of the egoic mind, but remains in that pristine state that has always been and forever will be. And there's nothing we can do to mess it up. We can't mess ourselves up no matter how we try to. We remain as indistinguishable from Divine Source, forever one with Divine Source, in original and unblemished purity, holiness, wholeness, and peace. So, if you'd like, just embrace that possibility. And take a deep breath and allow it to come as gold and white light flakes right into your mind and into your thoughts and into every part of your consciousness until the whole consciousness has expanded as a field of limitless luminosity, sentiency, awareness, and tingling with vitality and bliss. That is the state that we remain in forever. And so the only thing that we ever lose is what never was ever real. Because nothing that is real can be threatened. And nothing unreal exists. And herein lies the peace of God. So, today is the festival in India called Diwali, which is the festival of light. And it's very much like a combination of our Western Christmas and New Year. When we were there a few years back, everybody was lighting fireworks. There were such loud explosions going on from day to night that I would jump thinking that there something had exploded in the village. Just tremendous noise. And everybody would like to, if they could afford it, buy new clothing and buy gifts for everybody and have big festivities and feasting and everything. But it's very much like our Christmas and New Year, which have basically become excuses to party, to overeat, overdrink, overspend, overexcite, overagitate, and indulge in what we could call the carnival, the flesh, celebration of the flesh nature. And we forget that the whole purpose of Diwali is to realize that we are the light. Yeah, we can light deepas, which are the candles, little ghee lamps that are lit. Yes, yes, we can light these things. But they point to the fact that we are the light itself. We are the light. We celebrate Christmas as if it was an event that happened to a person 2,000 plus years ago, forgetting that we are the Christ. We are the uniquely begotten sons of God and daughters. But the soul is non-gender. It's neither male nor female. It simply is the light itself. It is the light. It is the sound, the current. It is living. It is not defined by gender, not defined by a form, any form in time and space, or any religious confines that we would try to box the truth in. No, it's none of those things. These are all mind-made boxes in which we try to confine our belief systems to keep them safe. And this is also 1111, often called the portal of ascension. And also it's my birthday. But all of these things, no matter what we want to call them and celebrate them, are basically, when you get down to it, beliefs. And that's all they are. They're belief systems. So have you ever taken an inventory of your beliefs? A Course in Miracles, which was given by Jesus as a celestial heightening of our awareness of a mini course in reality that we needed right now in our history, 50 years old this year. In the Course in Miracles, it says that a belief is no small thing, for out of a single belief, tightly held, an entire world arises. So consider, if you will, your experiential reality in light of the beliefs you hold. Now this is huge. Perhaps the biggest key to our arrival at whatever goal we've set for ourselves is what we believe about ourselves in relationship to our stated goal. Now, bear in mind, I'm speaking about consciousness. None of us have the ability, like Sai Baba, for example, to think of something and have it instantly manifest. That's the difference between a God-realized avatar and a soul that is in the process of awakening to its divinity. An avatar knows it's God, and we're still in the process of rediscovering our divine nature. So obviously, you can believe you're an airplane, but I doubt seriously that you're going to be able to fly. So we have to be realizing here that we're not talking about stupid things. We're talking about the consciousness with which we look out through our eyes and see a world that we project, which has been colored and tainted by the lens of separation, which we call that part of the mind, the ego, or the false self. It distorts our vision so that we don't see things clearly when we're looking through the lower mind, which is the home of the ego. Now, this is the huge thing. A Course in Miracles states that the ego's plan is that we should always seek but never find. So it keeps prompting you to look outside. Look outside of yourself. Look in relationships. Look in the world. Look in others. Look in people. Look in the ambitions that the world holds forth as the things that we should have. The money and the prestige and the fame and the power and all of that. So we keep so messed up in that labyrinth of seeking and searching and all of the things we go to do to try to be something in the world and make something of our lives. And so we make ourselves sick and a mess. And that's the ego's plan. Whereas the truth is, this is it. We are already and forever all that we desire to be. We are already that. We have already all that we seek to acquire. We've merely lost sight of that because we've been looking to find it in the world and in others, rather than recognizing it within ourselves. The thing is, you have to be it before you see it. You have to be it. And then you see it, and others see it in you. And that's always an inner process. Always. So even if you want to be let's say, successful, famous, abundant, or whatever, in the world, you first have to find that state of consciousness where you have it within you already, and you simply give from that wholeness. And very often it does produce the fame or the fortune or whatever it is that you seek. Not always. That may not be really what you want. That may not be really the dharma, the swadharma of the soul and this incarnation. But the state that you're seeking for, that you would find represented as that success in the world or that fame or that abundance or whatever, when you do find it within yourself, you then have the freedom and the option of whether to manifest it in the outer form, or rather, to create, as Jesus said, in the higher levels and states of consciousness where the rust cannot corrupt it and the moths cannot eat it. In other words, you begin to build the consciousness in the inner realms, in the inner subtle bodies of light, in those inner kingdoms, which are not of this world that Jesus spoke of, where indeed you rule and reign with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords as a king and as a lord, given custody over much. Because beyond all of the shenanigans of this world, we are being trained to be co-creators and co-workers in the divine states of consciousness beyond this material universe and all of these material worlds and planets. There are worlds beyond, greater mansions beyond, that don't come under the illusion fields of separation and duality and polarization and good and evil and all of that. And that's where we can really invest our creative potential. Not to say that you can't be successful here, sure. You may be in that stage of life where that's an important thing for you to do and manifest. It's not a bad thing. It is what it is. But just saying, there are other and deeper dimensions of creativity and expression that you're doing even if you sit and do something that looks like nothing. That is to say, you began to build in the levels of consciousness through your spiritual exercises. You began to go in and out of those dimensional fields and gain a familiarity of flowing in the light and sound codes of the divine, which are the true creative currents in all of existence, are the divine light, the divine sound. So we've merely lost sight of that greater dimension of life because we've been looking outward. We've been building sandcastles instead of that immortal mansion that knows of no death or decay or decline. So it's all a matter of our recognizing it for what it is. And whatever it is, has already been present. A simple exercise, actually I've practiced for many, many years, and have also used as an affirmation at times, is this. Everything I need is at hand. That means within my reach. And I found this works in terms of money, food, necessary items, medical care, assistance, love, support, whatever it is. I've realized that if I truly do need something, it is present in my life and within my reach right now. And that's become a habitual belief that I've, as I said, held for many years. And I got this idea from Jesus, who said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and there's never lack in the kingdom of heaven, which is within us. It's within us. It's a state of consciousness that is within reach at any time, but also manifests physically because you hold that as a belief. It then manifests accordingly. And the second statement is, sufficient unto the day is the substance thereof. So everything that we need is supplied for the day. We get into trouble and worry when we step out of the moment and worry about what's coming up tomorrow, next week, next month, based on what happened in the past. When we step out of present moment, we depart from present peace. So we tend to lose sight of the fact that when spirit gets mixed in with ego mind, this whole illusion of time and space and otherness arises. Ego mind is but the belief that we are different than God, and thus separate from God and one another. And this gives rise to every fearful, unhappy thought and feeling. A Course in Miracles puts it this way. Whenever I am not wholly joyous, it is because I am looking at something that is not there and trying to make it real. Why do we do that? We think of things that make us sad, depressed, angry, fearful. And then we rehearse these things in our minds over and over until we make ourselves sick or worse. And we believe in these feelings. And then we create our stories around how they came to be until we've actually manifested a hellacious state for ourselves. And yet it all came about by what we elected to believe and endow with reality. What are we endowing with reality for ourselves? Course in Miracles again. I am affected only by my thoughts. My thoughts give all the meaning anything has for me. And yes, that applies to what we eat. and believe we are affected by, allergic to, or that is harmful to us. If you're going to do it, for heaven's sake, quit cursing it by thinking it's going to kill you or make you fat or make you sick or whatever. Just do it and bless it and see it as good, because everything that God created is good, and nothing that isn't good exists. And when God created, it says in the Bible, he saw it was good. And when he created us, he saw us as very good. So, that's enough already. It is to us what we believe, no more, no less. All that we experience comes from what we believe is so. And thus it becomes so for us, according to our belief. You know, you can take people at random and ask, what do you believe about the world? What do you believe about yourself? And then you can see how their experiences completely align with their beliefs. For example, one may feel like the world is filled with danger and wicked people. And so, for them, the world is. Whereas another will feel the presence of divine love and safety wherever they are. And that's what they experience. That's what I've experienced. I've traveled many, many, many times around the world, alone, to strange countries, and I've always felt I was in my own living room with my own family. I've always felt love and the presence of God with me. And so, that's my reality. Now, the thing is, this is a biggie, but with spiritual maturity comes the realization that one is 100% responsible for what one experiences in life. And that's in this physical dimension as well as the realms beyond. And that's an astounding realization to awaken to. And the fact is that things are seen and experienced, or not seen or experienced, solely due to one's beliefs. So, let's read what the God-man, the avatar, Satya Sai Baba, has to say about this. This is from his book, Satya Sai Vahini, which means the stream of Satya Sai. It is our mind that has generated this panorama of cosmic proportions and presented it to us as truth. It is indeed strange that this huge cosmos depends ultimately on whether I cognize it as such or not. If you feel it is there, it is there. If you feel it is not there, it is not there. This means that we have to go deep into this process of the mind of man. Is there any occasion when our assertion leads to the existence of a thing and our negation results in its disappearance? Or is this conclusion a figment of the imagination? Inquiry along these lines would undoubtedly reveal the truth. For example, when the rope is seen in darkness, by mistake, by ignorance, it could be assumed that it is a serpent. And, for a moment, in its place, the image of a serpent arising displaces the truth of the rope. For some reason, when the truth is known and the onlooker feels this is no serpent, it's a rope, the serpent disappears. for it was merely falsehood. So feeling or thinking is able to create the serpent and also to destroy it. Assertion creates. Negation destroys. Both are mental processes which can be classified as thoughts. Though there are diverse levels and grades, all these are but thoughts. Where do these thoughts emerge from? Are they free to emerge spontaneously? To this question, the answer is buddhi, karma, anusarani. Our intellect follows the lead of our activities. Our intellect follows the lead of our activities. Thoughts arise in conformity with the attachment one develops and the results one anticipates from one's actions. The very first motive for action is, I must attain happiness and harmony. This motive arises from the ignorant assumption that the world is real. So, education without wisdom, mere wisdom bereft of discrimination, action without discretion, erudition lacking sagacity, power not justified by credentials, statements not based on truth, music wanting in melody, adoration not sustained by devotion, a person devoid of common sense and character, a student not endowed with humility, and a discourse that fails to inspire. These serve no useful purpose. In addition to knowledge derived from sacred texts, one should gain wisdom through experience. Knowledge without personal experience is futile. Wisdom lodged within us will be of no avail if it is static. It will only assume the form of mere scholarship. If such learning is brought within the ambit of practice, it is credible. Acquiring and hoarding of wealth will be of no avail if it is not consecrated and spent for the welfare of the world. Similarly, mere acquisition of knowledge from books is a futile exercise. Knowledge becomes blessed only when it is translated into actions which promote the good of humanity. First, one must learn about the precious truths contained in the sacred texts from veterans in the field. When you learn about them, you naturally take an interest in them. And then you develop an urge to visualize these truths at any cost. And that is the first stage of knowing. So the important thing here is that whatever we learn on the path of light, our spiritual studies, if we haven't translated it into experience, it's not ours. It hasn't ripened and become real to us. And that is very, very important to always remember that unless you have directly experienced something, it's not going to get into your life in any way that you can see it manifest. It has to always be brought through our levels and into outer experience. Inner experience translates as the outer experience. So our true nature as Atma is purity and fullness and bliss, ever content, ever free, immortal and forever indistinguishable from God. But do you believe that? Is that your experiential reality? Or is that just a nice thing that you have heard? We are, in fact, God. We are, in fact, one divine spirit enacting all of these countless roles and scenarios within time-space, being and becoming. Have you, however, ever seriously contemplated your divine nature? Have you ever wholly embraced your divine nature as who you really are? We are the light. We are the living word. We are the living light and sound currents, clothed in these material sheets and garments so that we can show up in these dimensions. Have you ever contemplated this fact? That you are the light. That you are the living word spoken into manifested form. We, if we're on a serious spiritual path, may have heard these things countless times before. Perhaps studied these truths for many years. But have they become our daily reality? Our default setting in terms of identity? If we observe the daily habits and practices of nearly every person who claims to be spiritual, what we'll notice is that really none of them believe that they are pure right now, whole right now, full and fulfilled right now, blissful right now, fully content and satisfied now in this moment. Now, most I think you'll find are more focused upon becoming those things, becoming more of something, more fulfilled, more happy, more enlightened, more pure, more disciplined, more healed, more complete, more spiritual, or whatever. Or, you know, maybe it's the body one is focused upon. Making it thinner, making it fatter, making it more with, the ab things, the six-pack on your abs. More toned, more something. But it's all moving furniture around. When you look at it, it's all shifting furniture. And none of it means anything of a lasting nature. But what we could do is accept ourselves as we are right now, and the state in which we find ourselves as exactly what needs to be, and be at peace with it. Be at peace with it without being in constant conflict to make it something else. So look around you. Isn't this the case of practically everyone you see? Everyone is trying to change, fix, do something with oneself and with the outer life situation, the world or whatever. And yet the more we try to fix the outer, the more of a mess we make it. Mankind, for all of its efforts, has yet to establish peace and goodwill with one another. Why? Because we're at war with ourselves. We're not at peace with any area of our life. We're constantly warring about something in our nature that we disapprove of and have not blessed with our acceptance. So, however, what we are really doing is living out and manifesting our beliefs about ourselves. Some of our beliefs are conscious and some are subconscious. Yet it is done to you according to your belief, as the Bible puts it. So what do you believe about yourself? Have you ever really examined what you do believe about yourself? Your life situation? Life in general? Two clues will let you know right away where you are in your life today. And this applies to every area of your life. And what people reflect back to you and how they react to you. And the feedback that you are receiving from people and the overall world about you. So, look and notice how the outer world and people in your life are simply mirroring your beliefs about yourself. You alone are causing the reactions you are receiving. You alone are setting yourself up for whatever is happening in your life. Why? Well, basically, you as a divine spirit are setting your personal self up to awaken beyond your misperceptions about yourself. It is really all good because it is all God and God is all good. And we are embodiments of divine goodness, known in Sanskrit as Satyam Shivam Sundaram, truth, goodness, beauty. That's what we are. Well, why don't we seem to get it? Why do we awaken each morning, go through each day, and go to bed each night in pretty much the same state of human consciousness and identity? The answer is really simple. Our habits and beliefs. We have become conditioned to believe certain things about ourselves, and these beliefs have formed into set habits. We have developed habitual patterns of thinking, of speaking, of relating and reacting to everyone and everything in our life. And these overall beliefs and habitual patterns are not authentic. They are imitative, adopted from others. And this imitation process starts at a very early age, as we copy the habits and mannerisms of those around us. As we grow up, we imitate the mannerisms and speech patterns and lifestyles of those we live with, those we look to as role models or admire in some way. The culture we live in and the education on the religious indoctrinations we've been exposed to. And we emulate sports figures and public figures and pop stars and film actors and movie scripts until who we really are has been completely buried under layers of assumed identities. Well, you know, at least, we do have a lot of company, as this is pretty much where we all find ourselves, with very rare exceptions. So how do we ever begin to uncover our true nature and identity? Sai Baba says that unless a belief is held unshaken throughout both day and night, where we live the same reality while awake and in the dream state, we have yet to firmly establish it as our reality. So, not to worry, okay? Not to worry. You can never lose what is real. Only the illusions dissolve away into perfect truth and loving wholeness. So, in this task, it's not your business to fix yourself, to transform yourself, to do anything with yourself. Leave yourself alone. But do turn to the Holy Spirit, which is the one that has been given the job of correcting every erroneous belief and unhappy thought you have. The Divine Spirit resides in your mind as the Christ mind, or the principle of truth, however you want to call it, the Holy Spirit. So you only need to offer the ravages and insanities of the ego mind to the Holy Spirit. And it's just as simple as realizing you don't like how you're feeling and asking the Holy Spirit to correct your mind. I don't like how I'm feeling. I'm feeling angry, frustrated, whatever. Holy Spirit, please correct my mind. Give me the thoughts that I think with God. And then you just take a deep breath. Release your unhappy thoughts to the Holy Spirit within your mind. It's all an inside job. And it's done. That's it. You turn it over to the one whose task it is to restore your right-mindedness, your divine mind, and the thoughts you share with God. You can also chant Hugh. You can chant it audibly. You can chant it silently. Or your initiatory tone or mantra. And these divine names and sounds will dissolve falsehood and return your mind to divine clarity and peace. Those are very simple. We can all do that. The challenge is to develop the habit of doing it, of reminding yourself, doing what you have to do to remember to do these things, rather than rehearsing your misery and trying to fix it or get rid of it or psychoanalyze it or whatever. None of that's necessary. You don't need to go to a psychologist or a psychiatrist or any of that. You just need to turn to the one who's been given you to correct your mind and lead you home to truth. And that is the Spirit of Truth, also called the inner master. That is God within you, in the form of the inner teacher. We all have the same one. Yeah, it's a God thing. We all have the same teacher, with a capital T. And that's the job of that Holy Spirit, to correct your mind when it is less than wholly joyous. So we become what we believe we are. You can believe that you are divine, that you are holy, that you are whole, that you are complete. I don't care what the outer form looks like. You are not the body. You are not the ego. You are not your thoughts. You are not the mind. You are not your emotions. You are not the feelings. What are you? Sat Chit Ananda. You are existence itself. You are awareness itself. You are bliss itself. You have form if you want to have form, or no form if you want to simply be expansive omnipresence. You're not limited by form. You're not limited by anything but your belief in limitations. You take that on faith and you develop the habit of thinking along these lines. You cultivate conscious, integrated awareness. Sai Baba calls us CIA. We're all CIA agents. Conscious, integrated awareness. You practice it. It's called mindfulness. It's called other things. But it's staying aware of who you are and making that awareness the habit so that your day becomes a 24/7 meditation. You're always returning your mind to truth. Every time it wanders off into one of the many rabbit trails of human consciousness, you bring it home. Bring it home to truth. You keep reeling it in and refocusing it. until that becomes your default setting. It becomes your habit, to where the slightest little departure from happiness and peace is intolerable. You just can't go there anymore. You can't host those unhappy thoughts, because by their very taint of unhappiness, you know they're false. That's all you have to do is, oh, I don't like that. That's not truth. It's not joyful. Truth always gives rise to freedom. Where the spirit of truth is, there is freedom. Where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberation, freedom. So keep moving to the freedom. Keep moving to the loving. Keep moving to the happiness. Keep moving to the joy. Don't confine yourself with labels and trying to hold yourself in a fixed position. Let yourself be. Give yourself unlimited freedom to be true to yourself, to do what you need to do to stay as illumined, as joyful, as peaceful as you want to be. That's your job. You're the caretaker of your mind. You're the one that decides what beliefs you're going to come into agreement with. Yeah, you're going to be a lot more silent, aren't you? Yeah. So the people around us will pick up on our beliefs about ourselves. They sense the energy subconsciously that we're emanating, and they respond accordingly. So everything in our environment does the same. Animals, children, our neighborhood, people on the freeway, in stores. Everyone and everything reacts to our state of consciousness and what we believe about ourselves, even though we haven't said a word. You know, the old saying is, what you are speaks louder than your words. For example, angry, hostile people are the ones that attract road rage and accidents and injuries and explosive scenarios and fires and attack from animals and other people. Do you ever notice how when you get angry and you're in a negative state, that's when you hit your thumb with a hammer? Or you cut your finger when you're slicing vegetables? Yeah, watch how that happens. Likewise, people with low self-esteem and low self-respect are the ones that get marginalized, disregarded, disrespected by others, and are often seen as scapegoats, doormats, and toadies in life. People who believe that they are victims of a cruel world that's out to get them are setting themselves up to be victimized, robbed, attacked, raped, vandalized, whatever. The horrible truth. But you've got to sometimes look at what is. What is? Why do people set themselves in these situations? Well, it's energy, it's belief, and the universe mirrors back what you're putting out energetically. Oh, you could call it karma, or astrological influences, or bad luck, or good fortune. But really, it is just a matter of the beliefs that we're holding about ourselves, and the reactions to that energy that we are putting out. Now, this is very apparent when it comes to personal relationships, especially intimate relationships, because we tend to attract people into our lives also by our beliefs and our habits and our overall energy and vibrations. Our relationships mirror similar patterns in our nature, sometimes by polar opposition, or objective and subjective patterns that may seem quite different and quite the opposite to our own nature. That is, until we examine them more closely. And then you'll see that the pattern, although it appears differently, has the same root cause. When a person believes that he's worthless, that he's done nothing to amount to much, and that he's not very smart or talented, then that is what his life will outpicture, according to his beliefs about himself. By the same token, if we take on faith the words of the enlightened and wise and believe that we are forever whole, pure, divine, one with God, worthy of all the good things that life has to offer, that we are blessed, we're covered with God's grace, then our lives will outpicture that. In either case, we're the cause of our condition in life. Some are even holding back their spiritual fulfillment, their self and God realization, by believing that they haven't arrived at that state. And so they don't. They keep delaying, they keep delaying, they keep deferring, they keep deflecting, rather than embracing it as the truth of who they are. Yeah, given in time, space, it may look like it needs to unfold. But the reality is that you're already that. The reality is you're already that. It's not something you're evolving into. It's something that is a fact about your reality now. In time, space, you may look like you're unfolding more fully into that. So we actually need to train ourselves to live topside down, so to speak, from the end result, and to make it our habit to act accordingly, to act as if, which is actually to act in accordance with truth. So why not make it a habit to act as if we are fully enlightened, pure, whole, and at peace right now? You certainly have nothing to lose. What's the point in acting against one's true nature? I mean, what's the point? Our true nature is ever whole, fulfilled, and free. So anything practiced repeatedly becomes a habit, particularly if you can hang in there for 21 days to, I think it's 30 days. In 21 days, which is why all of the meditations that we're getting online are 21-day meditations, that's what it takes to bring a shift in your consciousness, which affects the signals that your brain is being given. It actually takes 21 days to create a new groove in your brain. And after 30 days, it becomes a really good habit, or a habit. So why not cultivate divinely expressive habits? Some might say, oh, that's too hard to do. I'm the way I am, and I can't change. And you know what? You'll be absolutely right. You believe you can't change? And so you can't, according to what you believe. You know, everybody's right. No matter what they say, they're right because they're speaking out of their beliefs. So you can never argue with anyone, really. It's their free will and prerogative to believe however they want to believe. And you will have as many lifetimes as you want to believe in as many ways as you like, until you learn to believe in your perfect divine wholeness now. Well, do I have to be acting perfect and holy all the time? Is that it? No. It's not about acting another fictitious portrayal of yourself. It's realizing who you are beyond all the play acting and the karma dramas. Right now, play acting is going on. We are acting out separate identities caught up in all kinds of situations of pain and grief and sorrow and brokenness and psychoses and disease, issues and problems of all kinds. Yet in truth, these are all self-fabricated. Somewhere along the line, someone or something conditioned us to believe this about ourselves. But it's all beliefs and habits. We each have the power to change what we believe. And we each have the free will, if we want, to develop new habits. Habits that support what we want to be true. So act as if, and it shall come to be. And that is a very powerful, very simple key of manifestation. So I hope this has been helpful to you. It's big kid stuff, you know, when you take responsibility for your life. And it's also a matter of working in partnership with the divine part of yourself. That's another approach you can take, where you're actually coming into partnership with the Lord. And you're walking with the Lord, and you're walking in the light. And you're walking in conscious communion and conversation with the Lord within you all the time. The Lord is in your heart. The Lord is in your mind. The Lord is in your thoughts. The Lord is in your feelings. The Lord is the sole occupant motivator that is moving, thinking, and being through your human biosphere. There is only the Lord. There is only the Beloved. And you are that. And nothing you could ever do could ever change that. You are the perfect, greatly beloved, highly blessed, Beloved of the Lord, Beloved of God. So let's take a deep breath and allow that impartation and activation to settle into all the levels of our consciousness. And we go forth chanting, Anai Hu. Another deep breath. Anai Hu. Blessings, peace, and grace to all beings, and to you. Namaste.